Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful once again that we can come and worship you. And Lord, as we come to this moment of scripture sharing and proclaiming, we ask in Jesus' name that you would just fill us with your spirit, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet with sermon notes on one side and weekly devotions on the other. I encourage you to take this out, to fill in the blanks, or if God is speaking to you in a different way, just to write it on there somewhere so that you have a record of it and can remember it 2 hours after you leave church this afternoon. If you're listening online, there is a PDF file that you can use to find the sermon notes and the devotions. Again, I encourage you to follow through with that. Martin Thielen is an author of a book called What's the Least I Can Believe and Still Be a Christian? And in it, he poses the question, where is God? Where is God? And it's not in the sense of where is God physically, so much as where is God when God moves in the world around us? Where is God when God moves in the world around us? I don't know about you, but when I really began to intentionally seek God in my life, I was asking the two questions that drove me to seek God is what's the purpose of life and then what's the meaning or purpose of my life? But then one of the questions that I ultimately had to come face to face with was this question, where is God when God moves in the world around us? Where is God operating and how does God operate around me? Martin depicted two perspectives that we can take in answering the question, where is God in the world around us? And he uses two movies to kind of provide these perspectives. If you remember the movie The Truman Show, it starred Jim Carrey. It's about a man named Truman Burbank who unknowingly stars in his own reality show. Truman believes he lives in a small town called Sea Haven. Yet Sea Haven is really this huge movie set, and it's run by a director named Christoph. Christoph has hired actors that becomes the town folks, the doctors, Truman's friends, his work associates, even his wife. Thousands of tiny cameras around the movie studio captures each moment of Truman's life, and his life is then broadcast around the world. Christoph even controls when the sun rises and when the sun sets. He controls the weather and the temperature of each day on this massive set. And we have to note that some people believe that God works like Christoph, handling every little detail in people's lives to accomplish his will, that God works like Christoph, handling every little detail in people's lives to accomplish his will. On the other hand, a second movie, Apollo 13, if you've seen it, is the true story of the third mission that was to land on the moon. And it starred Tom Hanks as the commander of the mission, James Lovell Jr. 3 days after the launch of the mission, a tank explodes and creates a life and death situation for our three astronauts. Instead of looking forward to landing on the moon, as he had waited for all his life, it is in question whether or not the astronauts can even be brought back to Earth safely. A great many people begin to pray for their safe return. The Pope even holds a special mass for the Apollo trip. And in the movie, one astronaut who couldn't go because he was sick leads a team of engineers to determine if there is a way that they can find enough power in the lunar module and in the spacecraft to get them back home safely. In this instance, God does not save them through a supernatural act. Instead, God works indirectly through the wisdom, skills, and persistence of NASA's space engineers to bring the astronauts back home to Earth safely. Some people believe that God works indirectly through people to accomplish his will. So you've got God working like Christoph, handling every little detail, and then you've got God working indirectly through people. Now what's at stake here is where you see God will either drive you to be more prayerfully dependent on God moving in the world. You know, you look for God to do the miraculous because he controls everything. The disaster is avoided because of a miracle. A woman gets a test while she's in the beginning stages of pregnancy that suggests that her baby has problems, maybe deformed. She and her family pray for a healthy baby, and when the baby is born healthy, they say, God really performed a miracle here. You see God moving in the big things and are dependent upon God moving in the world. Or on the other hand, maybe what's at stake here is where you see God will drive you to become more dependent upon God moving in you. You do something good for someone and they say, man, you were an answer to prayer. Who hasn't prayed that God would help them from time to time? God helps us in tests in school, a driving test, or tests that will help a doctor determine what is causing the pain that we're experiencing or the symptoms that we're experiencing. Does God supernaturally give the right answers to the questions you do not know the answer of? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, this is the one that God has chose? Or does God help you think clearly about all of the material you have learned about the subject and then help you to choose the proper answer at test time? When you're dealing with a question, does God give you the answer or does God help you to find the answer? So where is God? Does God work in controlling every little instance of life like Christoph on the Truman Show, or does God work indirectly through people as seen in the Apollo 13 movie? When we look biblically and we see God creating the universe, the planet, and all living creatures, and finally people, this we would say is definitely a supernatural movement of God. God involved in the creation of every little detail, as we say in the Creed, every little thing that is seen and unseen. And we also see those acts throughout the Old Testament of God moving almost against natural reality, moving clouds and rain into Israel that had not experienced rain in years, and it only comes after Elijah prays for it. Fire burning in a bush but not consuming it. Fire coming down from heaven and consuming a sacrifice or even a city. Dead people coming back to life again. These are really miraculous things. And then on the other hand, we see Solomon, who was made king of Israel after his father David. God was willing to grant him a request, and Solomon, in one of my favorite passages, asks God not for riches or for fame, but asks God for wisdom to govern his people. We see in some of his writings that Solomon was quite the curious studier of all things. And God uses Solomon's natural curiosity to figure out how to lead Israel into their biggest glory days. And we note that in the Old Testament, we see God both in the supernatural and working through people to accomplish his will. Both in the supernatural and working through his people to accomplish his will. I wonder, does God still move in only the supernatural or only through people or both? I wonder if God has a preference. Don't you? In this morning's scripture, we come to that defining moment in time. God's people have moved to become pretty legalistic about following God's law and became more about following the law than about knowing and loving God through the law. And so the disciple John, writing about Jesus, gives us a little prologue on who Jesus is or was before coming into the world. And Jesus refers John refers to Jesus as the Word. Read it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And Jesus at the same time was with God, and yet Jesus was God. And what did Jesus do? Read it with me. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Through him what was made? All things. God was dealing with all of the little tiny details of creation, seeing that everything was lined up just so. And what was in Jesus? Read it with me. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Life was in him, the light of all mankind, a life that we all should really not just desire, but yearn for because we need it. A life and light that was so real, so permanent that the darkness could not overcome it. This is the kind of person I want to hang out with on a regular basis. Like, you know, all the time. Someone who is right and righteous that will help me to become a better person. Maybe I'm aiming too low. Not just a better person. Jesus helps me to become the best person I can ever be. To live life to the fullest. To be light to the world of darkness around me. And that happens only as I hang out with him. And it happens for you only as you hang out with Jesus. As John continues to tell us about God, about Jesus, he pens these final words and he says this, the Word became flesh, read the rest with me, and made his dwelling with among us. God in the flesh. You know, there's a word for that. Incarnate. God incarnate, God becoming flesh, God in the flesh. If you remember, the angel Gabriel reminded Joseph about what Isaiah had penned more than 400 years earlier and declared that a virgin would give birth to a son and he will be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means what? God with us. God with us. And that God, that son was Jesus. God in the flesh, God with us, the Word becoming flesh and what? Making his dwelling with us. And so instead of God operating from on high, God comes down fully God yet fully man. And we note in the New Testament, God sends Jesus to be with God's people. God sends Jesus to be with God's people. And then John goes on to say, we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and full of truth. And here is the important fact about Jesus in the flesh. God with us. Ready? Here's the important thing you want to hear. He gave up everything. Everything that made him God. His power, his authority, his divinity. He gave up everything and became fully human so he could be with us. God with us. God incarnate. Emmanuel. Now it's really important that you catch this next statement. We note that Jesus performed all these miracles, all those miracles. That when Jesus performed all those miracles, it was as a man and not as God. Doesn't that blow you away? I mean, when I first read that and understood that, it blew me away. When Jesus performed all those miracles, it was as a man and not as God. Do you remember the scripture where Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do? It leads us to know and understand and note that Jesus' miracles were directly tied to God the Father's will. Directly tied to God the Father's will. His prayers lined up with what the Father wanted to do in and through him. God the Father working through Jesus to accomplish what God the Father wanted Jesus to do. Boy, if you want to do things for God, you better be lined up with his will. And because Jesus followed the will of the Father, well, in theory, he followed the will of the Father, but in reality, Jesus really didn't do the miracles. Technically, we note that it was by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who resided where? In Jesus, who enabled Jesus to perform the miracles. That same Holy Spirit that all believers have. Without the Holy Spirit in Jesus, in him, Jesus could not have performed the miracles that he did. As Jesus drew close to the Father, he was enabled by the Spirit who worked in him to do the miracles. Jesus always, if you remember reading scripture, Jesus always seems to draw away from the crowds at night or early in the morning to find a place to pray, to be with his heavenly Father. And I believe the two are tightly linked. When we look at the example God gives us in Jesus, we note that Jesus spent time with the Father who was able then to work through Jesus. And I believe this is the key for us today. If you remember anything, remember this, that God is still at work in doing the supernatural in ways we will not fathom until we find ourselves on the other side of heaven's door. But I believe God chooses most of all to work through God's people when we're lined up with the Father. When we're spending time with the Father, we know what the Father's will is, and God then works in and through us. For instance, Dan Beer, as most of you know, was in a serious car accident 2.5 weeks ago, an accident not of his choosing. Who knows if Dan, at that very instant it happened, didn't shout out to the Lord, God, help me. I know I would, or at least I think I would. Or while he was still awake after it happened, didn't repeatedly ask God for help in his moment of need. People called 911. God, help me. The fire department was finally able to free him from the wreckage using the jaws of life. God, help me. Dan passed out, went unconscious as the paramedics moved him from the wreck. God, help Dan. They kept him alive down to the hospital and got him to the surgeons. God, help Dan. The surgeons spent 8 hours past midnight trying to find and repair internal injuries. God, help Dan. Another shorter surgery the next day with the surgeons helping to repair yet more damage. God, help Dan. We ask God to help Dan, and through the skills and wisdom God has given to others, Dan seems to be getting better. And as Dan continues to slowly heal, we pray, God, help Dan. As Dan receives well wishes and cards or visits or phone calls now and into his long recovery ahead, it lifts him and his family's spirits. God, help Dan. And God, through people, is helping Dan on one hand, and we pray God is helping Dan supernaturally on the other. God, help Dan. When Jesus gives his final commands to the disciples, he tells them to what? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. our families, our friends, our loved ones, our schoolmates, everyone we meet. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded you. This is saying this to the disciples. Go into all the world, make disciples, teaching them everything I have commanded you. Jesus doesn't say, hey guys, I've got this handled. Jesus says, you go into the world, you teach them, but here's the cool part. Jesus doesn't leave them there. He goes on to say, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. We don't go out alone. We go out with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. And in Jesus' final command, we note, Jesus sends us to do. But Jesus will also be with us as we do. Listen, where is God? Where is God? When you show unconditional love to someone, God is working, guess what? Through you. When you make a prayer quilt for Dan, and this one here is for a lady named Penny who had open heart surgery, triple bypasses, and is in recovery. God is working through you. When you tie a knot on that prayer quilt after service out in the foyer, who is God working through? Say it with me. God is working through me. When you put your hard-earned money in the offering plate this morning, or through online giving, God is working where? Through you. When you gave underwear and socks to the needy last week, God was working through me. When you give above and beyond money to special causes like the Personal Needs Pantry, Pastor's Fund, or an encore emergency like hurricane relief, God is working where? Through me. When you invite someone to join you in church this Easter, say it with me, God is working through me. When they come with you or not, know that God is working through me. When you forgive someone who has hurt you, when you pray for God to help someone to know Jesus, when you share about how Jesus has worked in your life, it's hard to know through what random act of kindness you offer someone in the name of God, what that might do, but know that God is working through you. God is working through me. We ponder the question, where is God? God is right here in you. And God is most often working through you. Isn't that scary? Isn't it delightful? Let us pray. God, we ask in Jesus' name in this moment that you would breathe on us your Holy Spirit, that we might be fully yours in this moment, that we might be fully yours like Jesus was, that all we do, that all we say, that you'll work through it to draw other people to yourself so that you will be glorified, so that the world will know the truth that can set us free. Breathe on us, breath of God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,